Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Investigate Europe podcast, where my colleague Oliver Moldenhauer and I speak with our journalists and learn about the work that they're doing. My name is Sindhuri Nandakumar. Today, we're going to speak about food. Think fish fingers, chocolate, ice cream, and more specifically, we're going to be talking about the quality of the food that we buy. There are some countries, particularly the newer members of the European Union from Central and Eastern Europe, who have alleged that they're being sold lower quality food than their Western counterparts. So imagine something like a chocolate bar that has identical branding and packaging, but different kinds of fat and less nuts in Poland compared to Sweden. Now, does this food duality actually exist? Studies have been done on this before, and our cross-border journalists recently decided that they were going to go shopping all across Europe to dig a little deeper into these claims. Now, I'm not going to give away the results just yet because I'd like to introduce our guest, who is going to have the honor of sharing the results with you. And our guest is Wojciech Szesla, who is one of the journalists who coordinated this cross-border collaboration. Wojciech is based in Poland, and he comes to Investigate Europe after working at a number of publications, including Gazeta Wyborcza and Newsweek Polska. And he's also a recipient of the Grand Press Award for Investigative Reporting. Hi, Wojciech. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Hi, hello. I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thank you. So I'm really curious to know, why did Investigate Europe decide to work on this dual quality food?
You know, for many years, there have been reports about double quality food and different ones from household chemicals to actually food. Mm-hmm. And the topic was discussed by institutions and governments. And when in a new EU member states, consumer discovered that the composition of theoretically the same products differ depending on the country, a discussion started. So it was a very famous sentence of a Bulgarian prime minister who said in 2017 that there is a food apartheid in Europe. So the topic was seriously taken by European Commission and European Parliament. And this double quality of food was widely discussed. Even a special directive was issued on the topic. So we decided as reporters of Investigate Europe to check what is the state of play here. Are we really informed by producers when we buy the same can or drink or a bar, that it's not the same bar we used to eat, for example, in Spain during holiday.
Right. And Wojciech, I'm curious to know, because you are based in Poland and the claim is that it's many Eastern European countries that face this difference. Is this something you've personally experienced on an anecdotal level? Have you noticed this difference at all?
To be honest, until this research, I didn't pay attention to labels.
Right.
And I wasn't really aware that the same products I buy in Germany, Poland and Estonia, they could have different ingredients. And honestly, most people don't pay attention to labels.
Yeah.
But if you spend several hours in a supermarket and do your shopping and read labels and then you have to compare them for a couple of days, then you can't pretend you don't have some, you know, observation or conclusions about it. So do I. So my conclusion is as it's described in our story. Yes, there are foods of different qualities on the market sold with the same label. What we discovered that Europe is not divided on this issue along east-west or north-south lines. And it's not the case Eastern European countries are treated less well by producers. No, it's not. But what we discovered that producers in Eastern Europe surprisingly often use palm oil instead of butter fat. As we know, palm oil is a fat which quality is questionable. And the same with the soft drinks. Instead of sugar, we found that in many products, producers use fructose glucose syrup, which is not actually a sugar.
It's surprising results, but doesn't confirm this east-west bias that a lot of countries have accused food producers of. But before we kind of jump into the results, I want to know, you talked about spending hours reading labels at a supermarket, and that's essentially what the Investigate Europe team did along with our collaborators. So can you talk about how you set it up? Like, how did you pick the products that were examined? How did you decide on the countries, and how did it all come about?
Okay, so we used kind of hybrid construction here when we went shopping. Mm-hmm. First of all, we used some products that been labeled before as a dual quality food. Part of our research based on a joint research center, which is a European institution for this sort of research, and it's been used by European Commission for different research. We actually used combined basket of products. We also discussed the list of products with our colleagues from Eastern Europe, from Estonia, Hungary, Czech Republic, and Latvia. Mm-hmm. Finally, we went shopping. And the biggest coordination work here was done here by Sigrid, Investigate Europe team member. She was the one who, you know, arranged in Excel all data we gathered. You know, it's not very easy to coordinate 15 people from different countries, not all of them working before with Investigate Europe and with our approach for journalism and research. So it wasn't very, very easy. And finally, we went back to shop several times for the same products because we discovered some differences on our list. So it took really weeks before we had this final list.
Did you have any expectation or hypothesis going in? Did you think, yeah, maybe this is what I'm going to find?
Of course, we remembered about this rumor from 2017, 2018, when right. New member countries started to complain that the quality is different in East and in the West. Mm-hmm. We simply wanted to know if there really was a dual quality. Perhaps one could expect those differences to be bigger. They were not, but you know, it's not a massive phenomenon, but still exists, and it's our job to expose if those differences are significant or not.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what you said, it might not be a huge difference, but the fact that it exists, even though it's been labeled and packaged identically, is pretty revealing. And you talked about palm oil, which, as you mentioned yourself, is a pretty controversial ingredient everywhere in the world. But were you able to find out why the countries that had more palm oil, the Eastern European countries, why that was the case for them?
Well, of course, we asked producers about it because palm oil is very specific. And sometimes producers used to say that they use, for example, in the same products in the West and East, different kind of fats, because it comes from local taste. In case of palm oil, it's not true because palm oil has no taste at all. So we ask producer, but we don't have clear answer here. Maybe the answer is that palm oil is the cheapest vegetable oil available on the market. What we heard is also very practical when you produce something with the use of palm oil, because it's a solid, and in a room temperature, it behaves the same as a butter. So it's easy to use, and sometimes producers take it because it's, it's faster, cheapest. But as we know, palm oil is not a very neutral thing. It's a product that, other than vegetable oils, the level of saturated fats, they call it, is much higher than in another products. And this saturated fat is a cause of so-called bad cholesterol. So it's not neutral for the health of consumers.
And so in addition to being bad for the environment, it's also not great for your health. And I remember reading the article and seeing that some of the culprits, culprit products, so to speak, were the Cornetto ice cream and some chocolate biscuits, the Choco Leibniz, right?
Yes.
And what did you find for sugar? Can you talk a little bit about what the different types of sweeteners are and why you think the difference exists?
Yeah, it appears when it comes to soft drinks like Coke or Fanta or Sprite, uh-huh. produced by Coca-Cola company, that they use different sweeteners in the West and in the East. In the West, soft drinks contain ordinary regular sugar, with or without artificial sweeteners. But in the East, sugar is very often replaced by this cheaper alternative, so this glucose fructose syrup. The same with ice creams. For example, very popular Magnum ice cream has sugar, glucose syrup, and glucose fructose syrup in 12 out of 13 countries we covered. Only in Poland, the only sweetener is glucose syrup. We don't know why. We asked all producers about those differences and we did not get any like a clear answer. The regular answer or statement from the producers since years, it's like it's a regional taste. So that's the reason we add here palm oil or not a sugar.
Right. And then another curious discovery that you and your colleagues made is that some countries, especially the Nordic ones, had a higher amount of sugar in their soft drinks, namely Fanta, right?
Yeah, but here I would rather say it's really the reason is probably that the local taste. We know as Poles, for example, that in Hungary, Coke tastes differently. Yeah. Same with Fanta in Norway, for example, or Sweden, and in, Estonia and Poland. Those soft drinks, they have different amounts of sugar or sweeteners, and this is something, honestly, we cannot explain. It's like...
Right.
It looks like producers have different approaches toward different countries and they just use different ingredients, which is, in my opinion, not okay, because what we see shopping is the same Fanta bottle we saw, you know, in different countries, so we buy it. It should be the same, but it's not, actually, it's not.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to understand what you felt as, you know, you're from Poland, you've seen how Poland has been targeted by this food duality. And what is your story? What is the work of you and your colleagues? What does it mean for food parity in the European Union? Would you say that we're in a good place or is there actually a lot of room for improvement?
I think we are still at the beginning of the journey. Because even with this new directive, which should be implemented by most of the European countries by the end of this year, there are still some backdoors for producers. So even with this strong law act, which is this new directive, actually it's not a new directive, it's amendment to the old directive, but we can call it a new directive here on a dual food quality. Officially, companies are, I'm quoting now, prohibited from using misleading and aggressive commercial practices that harm the consumer's economic interests. There is definitely a room for improvement because as with many EU laws, the devil is in the details, as we say in Poland.
Right.
So there is a matter of interpretation whether, for example, Polish Cornetto ice cream made with a palm oil has a significantly different composition or characteristic from Portuguese Cornetto. And we know after this research that there is a difference because Portuguese Cornetto is made from a real cocoa and Polish is made out of palm oil and so on. But to be honest, this directive, this new situation allows consumer to fight for their rights. So
more people have to take to the courts. Do you think that's what is needed now for change?
The new law says that manufacturers must show a legitimate and objective factor in favor of using, for example, glucose fructose syrup.
Right.
The question is whether they will demonstrate this factor by using, syrup in Hungarian Coca-Cola and sugar in Austrian soft drink. It's not clear, as Róża Thun, MEP from Poland, was fighting for this directive in the European Parliament, said, sooner or later, this law will be interpreted and used. Of course, if some consumer decide to fight for a packet of biscuits.
Okay, so that is one possible way towards greater food.
I know it's not very optimistic, but I have to say, you're a consumer, the move is on your side. If you feel somehow offended by the situation when you buy the same bottle of, I don't know, soft drink here and there, and you discover differences, you can go to court. This is what... This is what we can do, what allows this this new law, this directive. So it's on our shoulders as a consumers.
So that's some words of advice to the consumer from Wojciech. Thank you so much, Wojciech. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone, so much for listening to this episode of the Investigate Europe podcast. If you would like to listen to this in French, my colleague Anne-Laure spoke with Sigrid, the other journalist who coordinated this cross-border collaboration along with Wojciech, and my colleague Oliver Moldenhauer will be back for the next episode. One more thing before you leave. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts because it really helps us get discovered. And if you would like to support independent journalism in Europe, please consider leaving a small monthly donation for Investigate Europe. You can check out our website at investigate-europe.eu. Thank you and see you soon.